So this afternoon, we're wrapping up our theme has been partnership, and kind of like, lo and behold, my session wasn't designed to be the last one, but so in God's sovereignty, he has decided this is it. It's dangerous when you ask an included to talk on partnership because there's normally too much to share. And I'm hoping that this afternoon, oh, by the way, I don't know if you know this, but they did a strength finder on Jesus' life. So they took the New Testament, followed Jesus' life, and they tracked him to find out what his super strength was, and it wasn't included. So we're in good company. I'm only teasing. Please don't take that seriously. But the idea this afternoon is I'm hoping that I'm going to give you 6-7 big points as to why we should partner and not go it alone, and why we genuinely are better together. And what I'm hoping for is one or two of these are really going to scratch where it itches on your desire to work together. And you're going to walk out of here going, I'm never going to do this thing alone. I'm never going to do this. Whether it's in marriage, if you're married, I'm hoping that this is going to encourage you to partnership towards the gospel, towards Jesus in your marriage. If you're in a family, if you're in a church, if you're in a city, I'm hoping we're going to walk out of here after this time. Greg kicked us off with... you were in 1 Corinthians. On Thursday evening, Steve spoke so well, exegetically preaching out of Philippians the other day. I'm not going to be doing an exegesis. I'm going to give you a topical kind of 7 big points. There's 31 points to go through, so we're going to hit it hard. And I'm really hoping you're going to walk out of here buzzing and going, we can't do this alone. So let's go. So the first point is, why are we genuinely better together? The first point is, it's in our bones. We're actually made for partnership. We're actually made to work together. I love the word partnership. I think it's stronger than team. Team always reminds me, my first language, I grew up as Afrikaans. So when I hear team, I think of games and sport and stuff like that. Where partnership, I kind of like, how are we going to do something together? This is our serious teaming kind of thing. And if we look at that, so why is it in our bones? We're actually designed, we're made to work together. We are not made to be alone. If you think of Genesis, the beginning, and God looked at man, he said, it is not good for you to be alone. He gave him a wife. But let's look at in Mark 1, 9 to 11. In those days, Jesus came to Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized in the Jordan by John. And I love this because we use it when we baptize guys, don't we? We use this scripture of why we baptize in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. As soon as he came up from the water, he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descended on him like a dove. So it's Jesus, the Spirit, and then the voice, his Father of heaven coming, saying, this is my beloved Son, I take delight in you. Right there in Jesus' baptism, you have the Trinity all working together in the baptism. That's why when we baptize, we're reminding our people that there's a Trinity at work in your life. There's the Father that speaks over you. There's the Spirit that regenerates you. It's Jesus doing the work on the cross. So the same God that gave us new birth was in partnership, that gave birth to us. I'm born again by a Spirit that works in partnership. It's natural for me, if I'm a believer and a follower of Christ, I'm looking for people to work with. It's something in me that naturally will happen in me. The Father, in our salvation, the Father sends the Son. Jesus comes to us. The Son sends the Spirit when he leaves. I'll send the Helper to you. Sending, sending, sending. They work in partnership, so we see it in Scripture clearly. Our very own salvation is a work of partnership of Father, Son, and Spirit. You and I are sitting in the room because of a partnership. Have you ever thought of it? It took 3 of them to get us saved. Some of you could say there's a few million angels at work to get you saved. But because it's in our DNA, there should always be a dissatisfaction, discontent when we are not, or when we are doing it alone. And it's not purely a lonely discontentment. It's a, I'm not whole until I'm doing something with someone else. As believers, if you're doing it on your own and you're going alone, there should be a discontentment much stronger than just pure loneliness. It's actually, I'm not whole. I'm not made for this. I struggle when you talk to people that are going, I'm happy to do it alone. I go, how does that work? How does the Spirit of God go it alone? Not even Jesus went it alone. We're going to get there. Okay, so partnership number 2 is in the Bible. That's very helpful. We're a movement and we love the Scripture. If we can't find a Scripture, we're not going to do it. But Scripture is full of it. Let's look at Genesis 1:26. We all know this. It starts with, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And then they will rule the fish in the sea. See this? Multiple, multiple, multiple. Just in Scripture, wherever we go in Scripture, Old and New Testament, it's us, it's them, it's they doing this work. And we get excited because God is working, and so we get a model in Scripture. In the New Testament, the early church has modeled partnership as a key ingredient of mission and gospel proclamation. The early church, whenever we read it, we read in Corinthians, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Peter. What happened there? There was a partnership that went wrong. They were working together. Because they were working together, there was John Mark was the guy going, hey, this is not working. That would never have happened if they weren't working together. If Barnabas was doing his own thing with John Mark, they would never have that disagreement. Because he's doing his own thing. Why bother? I could do my own thing. I don't have to have a disagreement. It comes with the territory. Paul used the word partnership to describe both church leaders and working together and churches working together. And it's the one thing that got us so excited about Advance was the idea of churches serving churches. Our little local church can serve another local church and encourage them. Our little local church can think of the local church down the road that needs something. We can actually contribute to making them successful and really fly. And sometimes our contribution to them makes them fly stronger and faster than we go. Isn't that beautiful? Eh? We have that heart for our kids, don't we? I want to do everything. Claire and my partnership wants to raise kids that go further than we go. And that's gospel generosity in partnership. We do that. And Paul does it. He speaks in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he speaks for Titus. He is my partner and fellow worker. We're not just friends. We're partners. We've bought into. We've paid the price to be together. We're gonna do this thing together. We're going to work it through for something bigger than just because we're lonely. Loneliness is a poor excuse to do stuff together. See, our friends can be lonely. It's fine. They can make other friends. But when they say, let's become partners, let's partner in this thing, it's not just friendships. Now we're invested in this thing. Now there's something we can lose. I can lose. If Claire's my partner and you take Claire away, I'm going to feel a loss. I'm not just going to feel lonely. Lonely is a weak feeling. Sorry. It's a strong emotion, but it's a weak reason to partner for. There's something far greater. And then later he says to Philippians, he says, I thank God for all my remembrance of you, the memories I have of you, because of your partnership in the gospel. Not because that we had a nice meal. No, because we're doing something together for Jesus. I had the privilege of when PJ and the guys launched Advance in the UK, they took us to this lush in England. They call it lush. It's like their word for fancy, like to the hilt. And they just laid on this incredible, in a French restaurant, like the most expensive kind of place. And they said, we're celebrating the launch of Advance. We want to just be brothers together. And I have fond memories of that. And I can still remember who I sat next to and what we ate and what we drank. And it was like the merry brothers celebrating a big war just been won. But why were we celebrating? Just because we're lonely, we need friends? No, because God was about to do something in the UK through our churches that we get excited about. And we get to do it together. We actually get to partnership with one another. Number three. I'm not as awesome as I think I am. That is a 28-year-old church planter. Simple reason is why we partner together is the gentle and honest reflection that I don't have it all together. I'm not as awesome as I think I am. One of the pet hates that I have at the moment is in parenting, when you're hearing parents tell the kids how awesome they are. You can do anything. You can achieve anything. You are awesome. You are special. You are unique. Now, if every parent tells the kids that, and they're sitting in a class of 30, you've got 30 unique, special, awesome kids. I mean, our world is going to be fantastic. But we're not as awesome. Soon enough, our kids are going to find out that they're not as awesome and as unique as they think they are. So my first little sub-point here is, me is never greater than the we. What's the first thing Jesus did when he started to go into ministry? He started calling disciples into a team. He said, come partner with me. Even Jesus saw the need to be in partnership with disciples. They weren't perfect by far, but he even went and said, I need you. Come in partnership with me. I was sitting at the back. We were going to play a really corny Jack Johnson song, but then I remember Ian is here, and I don't want to do anything corny. There wasn't any worship for me, so I thought I'll play Jack Johnson's Better Together, but Ian, that would not have gone down well. Anyway, hashtag no ways. See, my kids have taught me there's a shortcut. A few months ago, I used to go hashtag like this. Now the kids go, no, you can just do this, Dad. Just hashtag blessed. Anyway, to the point, I was sitting at the back and I was watching these two young ladies, and the one had a denim jacket on and she was quite cozy, and her friend's sitting next to her and she's like shivering, literally like shivering. She opens a jacket and she brings a friend in and she says, oh, come sit next to me. Two is better than one. Right there. Are you girls okay? Is there an extra jacket? There's an extra jacket or two down here. That denim jacket will never be the same again. Denim stretches. So the first point is, I'm not as awesome. And the reality is, it takes mature people to understand that I don't have it all together. I really don't. I'm not as awesome as I think I am. And the reality is, if you're leading, there needs to be some level of confidence in you, isn't there? We lead because you believe in what God has done in you, but who and what he's done. I don't have it all. I have friends that have other skills and talents that I don't have. The sooner you realize that as a leader, the better. The sooner you as a church realize that, the better. So the beauty of churches getting together is this church, yes, they really do this well, but we don't do this well. How do we learn from each other? How do we partner? How do you strengthen one another? I love the strengthening of churches. I love the strengthening of one another. We say, I can't do that. Teach me how you did that. Teach me how you do that so well. Help me. We had a conversation, and we really hit a sweet spot with life groups this year, and it really, by God's grace, we just hit it, and it just works so well in certain areas of our church life. And someone said, can you tell us how you did that? What's happening there? There's humility. They're saying, I don't have it all. Can we learn from one another? We'll be an amazing region if we learn from each other. But the opposite is also true. The opposite is just as scary is when we start thinking we have it all together. We've got it all together. We break down in partnership. Asking is good for us. It's good to ask. Ask your friends. Look in their eyes when you ask them for help or advice and see what happens inside of them when they ask, oh, you need my advice. Oh, you're asking for my opinion. Or you think I've got something that I could contribute to what you're doing. Especially if you're doing well. I've learned when I'm doing at my best, and I think I'm doing at my best, that's the moment I need to ask people, what can I learn? Where can I grow? Especially because the tendency in me is when I do well, I'm waiting for everybody to ask, Arno, what's your secret? How did you get there? Isn't that true? Come on, guys, can't you see how well we're doing? Why aren't you all asking us for the secrets? Come to us. No. When you're doing well, asking is so healthy for you. And do it genuinely. Don't just do it because I said you should do it now. Go and ask and say, hey, how did you do this? Can you help us? The generosity of partnership. We are in our city at the moment praying through as everyday planting. And we've got one or two friends in the city, not even part of Advance, saying, can we help you plant? What do you need? Just the generosity, saying, we like you. We're going to do this thing together. Our name doesn't have to be on it. Can we help you plant another gospel church in the city? And the humility and like what it did to my heart to know I've got friends who aren't going to gain anything other than Jesus' word being preached more in our city, prepared to say, yes, people and money, can we get behind you? I think that excites Jesus. I think it excites God when we start doing that. I know that it's happening in Advance. I know it's happening in our region. But imagine in cities when we start thinking, we had a conversation with someone, I'm saying, so what happens if the best place for your person that's traveling 25 Ks or half an hour to get to your church, what happens if they start reaching their friends for Jesus and you go and say to them, why don't you plant into a church that not us, but that's going to serve the mission for those people better? How do we think? Because we're generous. We know this is one kingdom. We're establishing the kingdom of God together. And the last point under I'm not as awesome as I think I am is that others get to use their gifts. It's not just about my gift. When we're in partnership, I encourage others to use their gifting. I want your gift to flourish. And your gift's not the gift God gave me. And especially as lead guys, we need to work hard at this because there's an overemphasis in today's culture of the lead guy and the preaching ministry and the worship band, etc. And we miss a lot of gifting in the church where we just want to encourage. Jason did so well this morning saying, do you have something to share? do you have something to contribute to what we're doing? We should be doing it all the time as leaders. We should be doing, and hopefully most of us here are in some leadership. Find people amongst you, spot them, and say to them, what have you got to contribute? We need your contribution. We need your gift to flourish. But when we're insecure, hey, it's all about my gift. What can you do to make me look better? What can you do to make this ministry look good? Because if this ministry look good, I look good, and my mates are going to notice me. You know where we're going? The partnership is generous. There's a generosity about our partnership. Number four, the job is too big for one of us. We just heard Steve say it this morning. Already as advanced, we're feeling there are churches in regions we can't get to because there's just not enough of us. Come on, let's raise some more leaders. Let's ask God to open our eyes. Let's spot leaders that we're not spotting at the moment. Nations and neighborhoods. I need partners. We have partners. Clint and I did this for neighbors. A year or so ago, we did a dinner club, and we said every month we're going to have a meal with two unchurched couples, and we're going to have this meal once a month. We're partnershiping in mission. We want to reach our neighbors. Let's have a meal together. We like food. We like eating and gathering around good food. We're going to have two couples that don't know Jesus have meals with us once a month, and hopefully our conversations are going to go in a direction. And if it doesn't, at least we had some fun having food together and making friends with people that don't know Jesus. And at the end of the kind of year, at least, I'll know how my friends that don't love Jesus think, at least, and I'm a better pastor because of that. But I can do it with my neighbors, but I can also do it into nations. So as the Eastern Cape, we get to partner with Advance into nations, not just through our finances, but we get to pray. Don't underestimate the value of praying for nations and praying for friends. If you can't get there, we can pray for them. Fortunately today with the technology, you can follow everything on Twitter and Facebook and on the internet. You can download the talks. We didn't manage to get to global, but I could sit in my lounge on Facebook Live and watch global sessions and feel, hey, I'm with my brothers and sisters, and pray for what's happening in America. Get engaged. Think neighbors and nations. Don't just think neighbors. Don't just think nations. There's both. We get both and in the gospel. Hey, isn't that beautiful? Our little church, no matter how significant or insignificant your church feels it is, I get to play the game locally with my neighbors, with my touch rugby mates, over a meal, over a beer, whatever that looks like. And I get to be in the UK working in churches and serving churches and strengthening friends that are planting a church with 20 people. I feel like, I'm a friend. I'm a partner with you. What a privilege. This is life. This is, hey, we're getting to do stuff together. How could any local church achieve all this on its own? The answer is simple, it can't. No matter how great you are, no matter how powerful you think you are, no matter how wealthy you are, no matter how many people you think, one church can't do it. We need each other. Together, our mission will be healthier, stronger, last longer, and more sustainable when we partnership together, genuinely. When we are generous in heart towards one another. When we stop thinking, how am I doing, to how are we doing? How are we doing? How's our city doing? How's your church doing, genuinely? How are we doing together? We're living in a very individualized society that just thinks of me, myself, and I. And it has to be in the church. If we're living in that culture, it comes into our hearts. And being part of a partnership forces it out of us. It kind of forces us to think of others. It forces us to think of and being generous towards those who aren't with us necessarily. We get to share gifts. Share your gifts with one another. Churches, share your gifts with one another. If you've got gifts, share them. Don't hold back. Don't hold on to them. And if someone else is doing something good, invite them in and say, come, share your gift with us. We need your gift. So if someone's got a really strong gifting, preaching gift on their lives and your church is struggling through it, invite them in and come sit down and teach you how you do it. We in East London, in a few months' time, we've got a friend of mine that's in a Joburg Advanced Church that's super gifted on preaching and leading preaching teams on how they put preaching and calendars and preaching together. And we're inviting 10 or 12 churches, leaders in our city, saying, do you want to come and learn how these folks are doing it? Because they're doing it so well. They're preaching contextual preaching, and they're preaching the gospel so clearly to the 21st century. Do you want to learn how to do it? It's not even my gift. It's someone else's gift. I get to share it. Share other people's gifts for them. Is that okay? Can we do that? Can I tell you about the gifts that Steve has? It's like the offering when they put your hand in the pocket of the guy next to you and give as you would give from their wallet. We're not encouraging that. Share your people. Share your people. I love what Greg said earlier this morning. We think we're placing people. We're not placing anybody. God places. God moves. We must be careful because we want to hold on and shepherd and love our folk. But in the bigger scheme, God moves and God does what he needs to do. In John 6, Jesus says, those the Father sends to me will come to me. Our ministries are built on what God allows to come to us. Even Jesus' ministry was built like that. Jesus. No, he's super Jesus. I mean, this is Jesus. His ministry is built by the people that the Father sovereignly destined to move to and to follow him. Even Jesus needed his Father's sovereign kind of big picture. Hey, God, the ones I lead are the ones that you send to me. And let's be open-handed with our people. Let's be open-handed with those gifts that God's given us. Share your brains, your head, your wisdom, your knowledge with each other. If you've learned a lesson and it worked, share it. Don't be falsely humble and going, oh, we don't really know how to do this. If something worked and you did it well, open your mouth and say, we did this and it worked. Do you want to learn how to do it? I find it strange sometimes. We as church leaders can sometimes have this false humility where we never tell our friends how well we did in a certain, or if we've learned a lesson. My one friend in PE calls it school fees. When you make a decision and it costs you for like a year in salary or wages, and you just pay, and he goes, school fees. And I say, how do you avoid school fees? You talk to your friends. Ask advice. Ask. Asking is good for us. But share stuff that you've learned. Share. Don't be shy to say, this worked for us. There's a generosity when I say that, isn't there? It's not I'm bragging, look how well we did. No. Hey, Greg, this really worked in our context. Do you think it could work with you guys? No, on it won't. Okay, great. Next, move on. East London PE. Share your money. We need to share our money. We need to be open-handed with our budgets. We need to be able to say to our friends that are going to plant and going to stretch and going to go, hey, here's my wallet. My wallet's open. What do you need? And out of partnership, not because we're trying to impress or because we're trying to, no. We're in this together. This is us. We are going together. We're doing this together. Examples in the early church that did this, and I'm just going to go through these quickly before we... Lanny's not going to take long. First example in early churches, partnership happened between individual churches and churches. So you see, if you read the New Testament, just read all the churches and read through the New Testament. This church sent so-and-so to bless that church and to serve that church to that church. Church to church. In some ways, advance in a very real way is nothing more, nothing less than churches serving churches. And churches backing churches. And churches planting churches. And churches strengthening. When it moves from church, advance has to plant churches. Advance has to strengthen our church. I think we're in dangerous ground. I'm not speaking on behalf of advance. I'm just saying, advance is a movement of churches that are planting churches. Advance can't come to East London saying, advance is planting a church in Beacon Bay. No. East London churches, is there one of you? Is God going to plant through you? How do we back you? Advance is going to strengthen me because there's churches and people in churches strengthening one another. Let's not get our eye off that. And it was mentioned at last year's UK time, I think Ashley reminded PJ again, churches strengthen churches. Your church can strengthen other churches. We need your strengthening. We, by God's grace, can strengthen you. Whether you can even see it or not, God's got us in this thing together so we can strengthen one another. They help each other out in terms of doctrine and practice. Again, we've learned this thing doctrinally. I've got this issue. Hey, call the guys that you know love doctrine and are good in it and say, doctrinally, I've got this issue. Can we work it through? Talk to the guys. Let them help. And the early church did that. There's some scriptures in Acts 8, 14 to 15. There's an example that happened in Galatians 3 where Paul says, who have bewitched you? Like, what are you doing? You've been sucked into a theology and a doctrine that's going to hurt your church. And because of their partnership, they could speak like that into each other. They relocated leaders to strengthen our situation. There's a good possibility that should every day, one day plant in a congregation or a site somewhere, that there could be leaders coming to help plant that from other churches and other cities that's saying, we want to strengthen your hand in that area. It could come from East London churches. It could come from a Joburg church. It could come from Cape Town, prophetically. I can just feel there's a Cape Town couple. No. They sent individuals and teams in short-term strengthening trips. So our church has had the privilege of sending Claire and I every now and then to the UK. And we go for 10 days and we see like 8 churches. We spend a day and a half with an eldership team just listening and encouraging and by God's grace strengthening a bit. And our church goes, geez, it cost us a lot of money. And we missed you on Sunday. They do miss. Don't laugh. They do miss us. That was an inappropriate laugh. There's a time and place for everything. That was not the time. Is it? No. They laugh at my jokes. Send money. The New Testament is full of examples. Acts 11:28-30. They sent money to strengthen the hand of other churches. And then they helped advance the gospel through planting churches together. My dream is that we will get to a place in cities where churches together will plant churches. Can you imagine the message in PE? There's two advanced churches that are going to get together. They're going to go, there's an area we've got a heart for. God's speaking to us about this. Let's each one of us send a few couples to go, and let's put our money together and our resources. Let's go plant something together. Can you imagine when that starts happening in cities, what it would do to the atmosphere and the body language of church and competition in cities? I'm sure in PE it's rife, but in East London, our small town, but we've got a very strange church culture as a city, where we're just watching and competing with everybody. And the best thing for East London is to see churches saying, we don't care whose label's on it, we're going to plant gospel churches together until everybody in the city gets the gospel. There's lots of room to grow for us. Number five, partnership is safer. I've seen it personally. I've been in churches where the church has been completely in isolation, apart from any apostolic, any covering, any flow. I've been in churches that have had fantastic flow and covering, and we've learned some big lessons here. So why is it safer? It protects the gospel, number one. If we're in the right partnerships, we'll protect the gospel. And when I'm off the gospel, I'm preaching something that's not the gospel, my friends, my faithful friends will say to me, Arno, where are you going? I'm praying that at every day, when we start preaching and moving in a direction that's not where Christ and the gospel is not central to what we're doing, friends that love our church and love me will come and say, where are you going? What direction? What are you preaching? Why are you preaching what you're preaching? And we protect the gospel. But when we're on our own, we can go into all kinds of weird and wacky stuff. Isn't it true? We've seen it. I've been part of that. I've been part of a church that was incredibly gospel-centric and missional, step out of complete covering and authority and partnershiping, and got into some of the weirdest stuff I've ever seen in my life. Nothing to do with the gospel. What was lacking? Brothers and sisters that protect the gospel together. We need it. We live. Paul says to Timothy, guard the gospel. Guard the gospel. Young guy, you're leading a church. Guard the gospel. How does he guard the gospel? Can you just think about it. How did Timothy guard the gospel? He had a partner or two that made sure he was preaching the gospel. He had a partner that when he saw him going off track, saying, hey, Timothy, where are you going? Get back to the gospel. Preach the gospel. I'm praying that I've got friends and partners that for our church, when every day ever goes into any direction that's not the gospel, will have the courage and the boldness to say, Honor, where are you going? Come on. Not just my elders. It guards the mission. It guards what we are about. And it's funny, we can have friendship and relationships that's not the mission of God. That's not what God's got for us today. We can become the mission. It can become about my success and our success and my ego and my ministry and not around those who don't know Jesus in our cities. But friends and partners around the gospel make sure we're charging after the right stuff. It guards the leader. I'm safer. In my position of leading a church and a team that leads a church, I am safer because of partnership. I have brothers that when they see sin in my life, they see I'm getting arrogant or I'm beating myself up too much, will come and say, Honor, we love you. Can we talk to you? Honor, you're becoming too loud a voice in your church and your leadership. You've got other godly men. Listen to their voices. How does that happen outside of partnership? How does it I fear for any church leader with no friends or partners or brothers around them. Claire and I have had, as a family, we've had some challenges over the last few years. And literally the thing that kept us in ministry and kept going were godly men, brothers in partnership that said, we won't let go. You're going to get through this. Not just on our eldership teams, because that's, for me, the most effective picture of partnership in a local church. But we've got brothers in the city. We've got brothers in advance. We've got partnerships where I can pick up the phone and say, I don't know what to do. I've had that once or twice in my life where I've And I'm not saying only once or twice. I'm saying that I can remember big moments where literally, you know, when you hit and you can't see light at the end of the tunnel and you just go, this is it. I think I'm done now as a church leader and as everything. And you pick up the phone and you're sobbing and you're going to your friend on the other side of the line. You're going, I don't know if I can get through this now. And your friend just speaks to you and encourages you. And the next day they're on a flight and they're in your home and they're crying with you and your wife and your family. And then they go home to wherever they come from. But you go, oh, I can face tomorrow. I can go another one. I can not give up. But it also protects us from sin. The sin of we're just too loud in the room. We have partners that love us. They'll say, your voice is too loud. Honor you. You're bullying your team. Honor you not leading in a wise way. And the more I open myself up in my marriage, up to my friends and my partners in the gospel, the stronger Claire and I and my family and the church is. It protects the people from being abused by the leaders. It's good for my people. It's good for the people God's entrusted to me to have partners that love Jesus as much as they love me and will protect our people. It protects our city. You say, how does it protect the city? It should protect the city from all kinds of weird doctrines and gospels out there. It should protect the gospel in the city. It should protect our city from looking and going, I can't go near the church. I don't want to go near the church. And we have to think of the responsibility we have as the church. And what does the city, when they look at the church, what are they seeing or hearing? The gospel partnerships protect that. Cities healthier. I'm convinced that churches and cities will be healthier in the gospel with partnerships around the gospel. Where we're accountable, we answer, we invite together, we genuinely are better together. Not because Jack Johnson sings it or PJ said it somewhere in a preach or and when you land at OR, there's a big thing about walking together, you go further. That's not why. No, no, no. It's because it's in us. We design like that. While we were fishing, number six, we partners because we fish together. And Steve mentioned in one of his sessions, this idea of fellowship, and we were part of Friends First in Cape Town for a few years before they became Common Ground. And everybody thought Friends First was the best name for a church. And then I remember speaking to Rigby and the guys eventually got to the place where they're going, actually, it's not Friends First, it's what we call to in God First. And they couldn't take God First because PJ and them already had it as a church name. But this idea, and Steve explained it so beautifully, is you and I buy a fishing boat. We invest money. We take a risk. And then we get into our fishing boat and we row into the wherever we're going to go fish together. And while we're fishing and doing what we've invested in with all our lives, we become friends. We have tea together. We have coffee together. And we start becoming friends while we're doing this thing. Partnership's always around mission. It's around why we're together. There's a reason we're together in the room. It's not just because we're lonely. It's not just because we like each other. It's not just because we all like the same theology or the same coffee. No, no, no. There's a big reason why we're together. Because Jesus has asked us to invest together and together go fishing into our nation, into our neighborhoods. Together we do this thing. That's why. That's when we become friends. Greg and I weren't mates. And there's a good chance that if it wasn't for Advance and some of the connections, we'd never ever know each other or even become mates. Not because we're so dissimilar or unlike one another. But all of a sudden we start talking about church and what we're going to see our churches do in PE and East London, and there's some common ground going, where, oh, this sounds good. Okay, let's hang a bit about that. And as we've done this, we've become friends. We haven't looked for friends and then let's become friends and then add some stuff to it. No, it's the other way around. The gospel and the mission of Christ pulls us together, and then as it pulls us together, we start becoming friends and we deepen in friendship. If we put the other thing around, if we go friends first before mission, what happens? I feel hurt by you, betrayed by you, and I'm out of there. Because what's holding me together? A relationship. Relationships, I'm a relational guy. But it's not strong enough to hold us together. You and I need a stronger bond. We need something far more magnetic than a relationship, and because I like you, and I think you're funny, and you make nice coffee. There has to be more to our partnership than that. We do it through churches, through cities, through regions, through continents, globally. We see those things happen. And then lastly, my deepest point and my most serious point, it's honestly just more fun when we do it together. Honest, we can take ourselves so seriously that we forget to just be who God's made us to be. We forget that God actually just made us to actually be in partnership. And I can promise you, if you're in the right partnership, you find the right guys, and it's around the right stuff, it becomes a huge amount of fun. A lot more fun. We're meant to have fun. We're meant to enjoy this thing. I get nervous when we take what we call to too seriously. I get nervous when we think that we have to be frowning and looking down and navel-gazing. And guys, we have to have fun. We have to be able to enjoy the moment. There is life in this thing. There is life in partnership. If we truly believe what the Bible says, if we truly believe that the Spirit that raised Arnold from the dead spiritually is a partnering, working together Spirit, I will never ever be as happy as the day as I am working with others with the same Spirit in them. At my happiest, I'll be at my most joyful. My happiest moments will be when I find kindred spirits and hearts and we go together, we sacrifice together, we invest together, we pray together, we suffer together. But together, 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 we do this thing. Can we pray? Can we do that?